And we are back, and it has been way too long since we last checked in with Coach Hoy. Coach, do you still have a voice after last night? I know the main high school basketball playoffs are going on.
I do, because I sat in my bed all day sulking and didn't say anything. So I did not last night.
I know it was a tough one, but we talked about this last year. And you had a little rivalry going, like a mini rivalry going with Falmouth. And you got them this year in the playoffs. How good did that feel?
It was awesome. I mean, we were the 7 seed. They were the 2 seed. And, you know, they knocked us out 2 years in a row. So getting them the third time was just awesome. And the way it went down was great, too, because we went up by like 12 in the first half. And then they came right back in the third quarter and they were up 4. And then we went on like a 13-0 run and like just put the game away. It was great. And so it was just like a lot of like really big moments in such a huge game. It was really fun.
Is it still just like the energy on defense that you're seeing from your team? Is that still the model and your hallmark?
Yeah. And that was, we literally played 13 different defenses against Falmouth. And I don't think we ran the same one more than like 3 possessions in a row. To just like keep them off balance. And so like the fact that my guys could switch between all of those and like only mess up a couple times was pretty awesome.
That's more than Joe Mazzulla ran last year in the conference finals.
He's learned from his, his misdeeds.
I'm all right with him. Congratulations. I know, you know, you want to eclipse that or get to that pinnacle, but it'll happen. You know, the program is Nick Saban would say is, you know, it's catching steam. So congratulations on another good season, bud. And also, I'm not going to say congratulations on your back-to-back fantasy title because you beat me.
Wait, is that the same league that AB's in with you guys?
Yes. Too? I got AB, I got America's Best Friend, and then I think I had, like, James Cook go off for, like, 40 points on like, Saturday night, and I'm like, oh, sweet, all I need is just people to hit their projections, and then Coach went nuts on Sunday. So
no one cares about any of our fantasy.
I know.
But this year, I tanked intentionally to get a bunch of draft picks in my Dynasty League, and it kind of felt nice to not care. And not like worry about things I have no control over. It was kind of nice. It was freeing.
I won all 3 leagues I'm in.
That's more fun. That's more fun than tanking. Yeah.
Who needs the high school basketball title?
We've got unlimited sports.
Your college friends.
I almost wore my rings, but I decided I didn't want to rub it in. So I left them over on the shelf.
Gabby would have muted you.
Yeah, it would have just been 27 minutes of mute. But so the NBA season this year, a little bit strange, odd. I feel like with the Celtics specifically, and that's where we usually kick this off, it's exciting and they're just so dominant that it's almost borderline, not boring, but like you're just expecting them to win 8 out of 10 games every single, you know, 2 weeks. What are your thoughts on them? Like, any concerns other than Porzingis potentially his health holding up?
You know, I think there's the concern that they don't show up in the playoffs at big moments because that's and they still don't close games great. You know, like they're still figuring that out, but they're certainly the best team by a lot, in my opinion. And you know, like you said about it's. You kind of are just waiting to get to a game that counts, you know, like the like just a formality at this point. So, you know, just get to the playoffs and hopefully be healthy.
Like that the Porzingis thing has been like they're resting him appropriately. Like, you know, they've been giving him the DNPs, like sore knee, like just give him. It's the stuff they never did with Rob, even though they couldn't and he didn't show up when they needed him. Like, you know. And I think the depth they've got this time around, like some of these guys are playing well enough to keep, you just got to win enough games to keep that 1 seed. That's it. Doesn't even matter how many games you get it by, but they got a nice cushion. I like that they got some guys like Cornette who are actually playing minutes and winning them games now so they can leave those guys for the run because they're going to need all of them. They're going to need those top 6, top 7.
Yeah, and you know, Tillman's going to help with that as well, just give him some more depth and, you know, maybe Springer might be able to give you a little bit. So,
yeah,
you know, that's helpful.
Tillman's going to do all the Grant stuff with hopefully none of the bonehead technicals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or, and not even the technicals. It's more or less just like not getting back on D because he wanted to like complain to the ref.
Yeah. Just like
and give up free two. Yeah. So the Thursday before the All-Star break, I had to head to Atlanta and I was at Logan Airport, you know, around 8 o'clock in the morning. And I looked over and I saw Peyton Pritchard. And I was like, what are you doing on a domestic flight? Like sitting in the terminal. And I just mouthed like, hey, good game, bud. And then I was like, no, this isn't enough. So I just snapped a selfie with him. And the flight attendant or whoever it was, you know, working the gate was like, don't do that.
Hey, he committed to coming on the pod, I believe.
I know. So we'll see if we can actually, if we'll, you know, make that happen. But
yeah.
So other teams in the East, anyone that scares you, the only one for me is the Bucks, really, that, you know, it's not the Heat this year. They're not going to pull off another like 7 seed, 8 seed run.
The Knicks.
I think Cavs are at least a bit formidable. You know, they're defensively, they're pretty good. They're long. But I just don't think they're it. I think it's Milwaukee. I think it's Milwaukee. And I would say probably the second team I'm scared of, it would be Miami, but just because it's Miami. Right. I don't think they're good, but I don't think anyone else is good either, really. The Knicks are okay, but, I mean, I'm not super impressed with just adding OG Anunoby. That's not enough for me, but.
You have to reach. You have to stretch to find teams, whereas in the West, I mean, the top five, six, you could even make the case for the top eight. All eight of these teams would beat everybody probably pretty easily in a series outside of the Celtics.
Yeah, I'd say most of them.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. Like the only compelling game the Celtics have played in the last, you know, this year in 2024 is the Nuggets game at home, and that's really been it. I know there's a game March 5th against the Cavs that will be like the next one on the schedule that they'll probably have circled and get up for. Not that they haven't been getting up for games, but it's very methodical. They're just
a big one for the one seed. You want to keep that cushion,
right?
For sure.
I kind of closed the door on the one seed.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want to have to go on the road for those games. Game seven's on the road. Don't go well. I think
right now being up six games, I'm not concerned they're going to end up with anything but the one seed. Anyone out West that you're eyeing, do you think the Timberwolves can like stave this off? They're young. It usually takes a team like 2 or 3 years in the playoffs to really catch on.
Yeah, I don't.
The
Timberwolves. Rudy Gobert can't play in the playoffs. Like their third. He's their best defensive player, and he can't play in the playoffs. So it's like, what are you going to do? That's a huge, huge like issue for them. Is that one of their best players just can't even play when the playoffs roll around? So I don't think they're going to do anything. To me, it's I think Dallas poses a problem just because of Luka and Kyrie. You know, that's just a team that's. That's tough to stop.
They have two guys that can score at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Finishers. And Luka just can be unreal for like 3 or 4 games in a row. They just win a series himself.
Yep.
Obviously Denver is right up there. I don't think Oklahoma City seems like another one that like playoffs roll around. They're just not going to be able to get it done.
Yeah. They're too. It's another team that's like, that hasn't been there yet. And they'll win a series, maybe two, but I don't think they'll be able to crack into the finals yet.
No. And I think Sacramento's in that same boat. They're good, but they're like, you're not going to probably get it done. Though they did play well in the playoffs last year against Golden State, but,
I'm surprised. I don't know that I trust the Clippers, really. Like, I feel like any team with Harden as one of the top two options, because how do you even decide who the top option is there, right? Like, who's the top, who's the second, who's the third? Like, all those guys are kind of at the same spot. I don't know. I mean, they're all winners. They've won before, besides Harden. So, like, there's that there. But I don't know. That team wouldn't scare me. I think I'd be much more scared of Denver, Phoenix, and honestly, Dallas, to your point. I think those are the three biggest threats over there.
Yeah, Phoenix. I don't think Phoenix has the defense to get it done, but we'll see.
It's gonna be, those teams are gonna kill each other. It's gonna be whoever comes out of the East will have a much easier road for sure, and that's just the way it's gonna be.
Do we know if Embiid has any shot at coming back in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he does. Okay. I just don't think it's going to matter. Like,
okay.
You know, well, A, it doesn't matter to me because the Celtics have no issue with him. They've owned him right. for multiple years now. So, like, he's not a bogeyman like Miami has, right? Like, he's not that guy.
Yeah.
But also, like, what's he coming back at? His conditioning's not going to be great. It's already a weak spot for him. Like, I think that's going to be a lot of Maxi running that show in the playoffs with him kind of like picking up the mess. None of that scares you. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine they lose to that team.
No, we haven't in 40 years.
Yeah. Embiid's a terrible matchup.
You're like,
we saw it.
Game 7. 1982, I think, is the last time they beat us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like 41 years ago.
The Celts have the guys to make that game miserable for Embiid. They just pull him out to the three-point line. It's over. He's gassed. He just doesn't have it. So it's no threat there. And Miami might not even make the playoffs. Like, honestly, who knows at this point?
Yeah,
like, they probably will. But
I mean, there's a better than 50% chance they're going to be in the play-in round.
Yeah, and they could lose to the Hawks. Like, Trey gets hot, yeah. And, you know, you never know. Like, I know he doesn't play any defense, but, I don't know. I don't want to see them. To Coach's point, like, I'm not looking to see the Heat, but I don't think I'd be as scared of them this year as I would have been in years past.
Do you mind being called Coach? Because, or does it bring back, like, Coach Fox from Craig T. Nelson days?
Oh, you're a big coach guy anyway, Gibby. You love coaches.
I do.
Varney calls me Craig T. Nelson. Like, oh, <wow. laughs>
Listen to this. So, the 73 win Warriors of that 2015-2016 season had the top offense in the NBA.
Yeah.
If you guys have seen this, then you can guess anyway. Coach is shaking his head like he may have. Where would they rank this year in efficiency in terms of, like, what spot would they rank this year in terms of efficiency?
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, I would guess it would probably be like 7th or 8th, maybe.
21st. They would be 21st. Yeah. And so the reason I bring this up is I feel like every night it's mostly because I'm gambling on these games, but every night I look, there are teams getting blown out by 30 points. And then there are games that are like 135 to 120. I wonder, like, I don't know. I don't have any data to back this up. I'd have to look. I feel like this actually backs up that theory. There's a lot more points being scored. I wonder if that changes in the playoffs or if we just get a bunch of shootouts, like run and gun shootouts, and defense is kind of like optional now. Like, I don't know. We'll see. It's been a weird year, though. Teams are getting smoked, and they're putting up 140, no problem. Like, that's crazy.
The number of possessions is up. Like, I think it's up like 15 possessions per game over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And it's actually kind of funny because if you look at the season when Wilt Chamberlain scored 50 points a game, they had about 130 possessions a game. And when Jordan scored 37, they had about 90 possessions a game. So if you kind of extrapolate that out, Jordan would have been averaging like 63, 64 points if he had that many possessions and he scored at that same clip. So,
and nothing about the rules has changed. Like, even in the last, I mean, since then, yes, but since 2015, 2016, nothing's drastically changed in the rules to make that offense a little bit more open.
No, I think it's just the style of play and catching up with the number, you know, the numbers of, you know, the volume 3-point shooting is just a higher efficiency than anything else. So, it's just, you know, you get so many more points per possession when you just jack up threes. Every team's doing it, and it's just making the game really fast.
Yeah. If both sides do it, it's no problem.
Yeah.
The other thing I saw, the Celtics have the best net rating in the NBA since 2015-2016 Warriors, who, you know, went on to win 70-plus games. So, you know, it's telling.
This is their year. I mean, anything can happen, injuries, you know, bad luck, bad bounces, etc. Like, they've been so close, and the team is better than it's ever been, and the competition is weaker in the sense that the East is not very deep, and you're only gonna have to play one team out of the West. So,
right,
if they don't win it this year, we gotta start wondering if they ever can with this core, to be honest.
I think it depends how it goes down. I mean, if they lose someone and they don't win, it's like, you know, like, I don't know. I just think this is the most talented team, 1 through 6, that, you know, since like the 86 Celtics and like the Lakers, that when those teams were just stacked, just don't see teams that, I mean, they basically have five all-stars. I know they didn't all make the all-star team, but they're five all-stars. And then Al Horford, who's just old, an old all-star. So like,
he's in the right spot. He's finally in the right role. They're going to get 12 electric minutes out of him in the playoffs, and it's going to be all they need, and it's going to be perfect. And you can rely on him. He's going to do what he needs to do.
And you know who he is? So Horford's the catcher from Major League. I can't think of his name.
Jake Taylor. Yep.
That's the Horford role up in the clubhouse. Curious, like, what do you think in terms of the rest of the season going into the playoffs? Any player legacies at stake other than the Celtics? Like, outside of that, you know, I don't know if it's just. I don't think Jimmy Butler really has a chance to do much, but like any other players across the league that you think like, oh, this could be a storyline.
I got to think that I know Giannis just signed an extension, but I got to think that if they are an early exit, that he starts to think about getting out of there. Cause there's no way they can trade the garbage contracts that they have for anything worth putting around him. I mean, like Lillard's a good player, but he's not worth what he's getting paid. And not no one's close. Waiting for that, you know, and so that's one storyline to watch. I think what happens with the Lakers will, because LeBron is a free agent, if I'm not mistaken.
Whatever. Making a lot of noise.
And then, you know, I think the Clippers obviously have a lot at stake because, you know, Kawhi Leonard's just got to play in the playoffs. You know, that's like if he just even plays, no matter what they do. He can stay healthy, that changes his things. If he gets hurt again, it's like, all right, dude, you know, enough, like hang it up.
I can't believe Giannis has been in the league 11 years. I heard that the other day and I was like, that's crazy to me. I would have thought it would have been like, my guess would have been like 7, 6. 11 was a lot.
And he still seems young.
You're right though. Those teams have like pigeonholed themselves. That's why it's so brilliant what Brad did. You know, they've got outs if this doesn't work for some reason. Like, they're not stuck with guys. That's why I think they'll win. But, like, they've got good players on decent contracts. They can move that stuff. Like, no one's complaining about the Jaylen contract. That obviously, like, a classic. Like, nobody cares because someone else worse than him is going to get more money next year. Just the way it works. Like, they got outs. That's a nice thing to know is they're not stuck.
Well, and the new CBA doesn't handcuff teams as much as people make it out to be. I mean, there's some changes about what you can do with trades, and you know, it's obviously going to handcuff a little bit, but the max contract's still 35% of the salary cap. That doesn't and it has been for 15, 20 years, whatever, however long it's been. That doesn't change, just the overall number changes. So yeah, they're gonna have two guys on max contracts, but what championship team doesn't? You know, like that every good team has two, sometimes three guys on max contracts and they make it work. So I just don't see, you know, this whole idea of like, oh, well, after this year when the new CBA kicks in, they'll have to trade Jaylen. No, that's ridiculous. Like, they're all under bird rights. They can sign them. They're just going to have to pay a lot. So,
and like worst case scenario, if they did have to trade Jaylen, they're not taking back 80 cents on the dollar. That's one of those rare superstar trades where you might get pretty close to 100%. You're going to get a bunch of good picks and you're going to get some young guys. Like, that's where you get a maxi. And like, maybe he's ascended a little bit too far, but like preseason maxi plus a couple firsts, like that's, you'll get that for a guy that's still young on a contract that looks a lot better. So yeah, it's a good situation that Brad's in a good spot. And I think Mazzulla, Gibby, you were talking earlier about Mazzulla. I feel like I'm hearing less about him not understanding the things you need to do to get ready. Like, so coach, you might be able to speak to this, like the stuff you do during the regular season that shows that you'll be able to make the adjustments in the postseason, like the ones he couldn't make last year. Have you been following that? Are you watching that? Do you feel like he's growing and learning as a coach, or what do you think about that part of it?
I think it's just an unenviable position to be in the NBA in the regular season, trying to make adjustments because you don't get, there's no practice time, you know, like they're not making adjustments until playoffs. So the stuff that's going on in the regular season is just on the fly, which, you know, it's challenging to do that in, some of that's on the players too and executing what they're trying to do because, you know, it's half and half. But I think when it comes to the playoffs, you know, everyone talked about the adjustments that he didn't make last year. And it's like, they just didn't make shots in the games that they lost. You know, like you can track it pretty closely that like when they shot over 35% from three, they won. When they shot under 35%, they lost. And
they didn't rebound. They didn't rebound at all.
And that's how you would lose games. You know, if you don't make shots and you don't rebound, you lose games. So, I don't know what adjustments you make for rebounding. You know what I mean? It's like, that's kind of an effort thing. Just go get rebounds. Like, yes, you can yell at the guys in huddle, but they're professional athletes. You figure they just want to go get rebounds, but
yeah, you should be predisposed to wanting to go clean that glass. Yeah.
I mean, I always find this to be really funny. Cause like, at some point you're as a player, you have to focus. And so like, as a coach, you can yell at them all you want, but like, if there's like a 34-year-old adult in an NBA playoff game that's not focused, I don't think yelling at him is going to do all that much. Like reminding him to focus, like he's either going to be focused or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Spoelstra doesn't. Phil Jackson didn't really. That wasn't their demeanor. Like they didn't operate that way. Like, yeah, you're right. These guys got to play or not. Like there's something that's extra there. Like they have to care. Obviously, they all care about winning and winning a title. But they've got, I think they do. There is something to the team aspect of it in the playoffs in the NBA. Like you really do have to have a lot of trust. It's one of the few sports where you really have to have a lot of trust in those couple of guys on the floor with you. Hockey feels similar. Baseball and football are different. I think it's more like spread out, but you really got to trust that your guys are going to be there. And that's like, those are the teams that win. They're cohesive. It's the thing.
Well, I think with Mazzulla too, right? Like he had 72 hours before the season started when he was named head coach.
Yeah.
So like no time to like install an offense, install defense. And obviously he had 82 games over the regular season, but to your point, coach, like he's not getting practice time out there and he's not, you know, making adjustments and he's still learning like what substitutions to make, what lineups to put out there and how to adapt there. So I think that's true. And I think the trust thing on football, I think on the defensive side, right, you have to have that immense amount of trust, right? If you're gonna double up on the side, you have to inherently trust that your strong safety is coming over the top. Anyway, I digress. So I want some picks for rookie of the year. Is it Wemby? Is it Chet?
I thought so. Preseason, I kind of assumed that Wemby would get shut down at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of leaning that might happen. So I probably would go with Chet.
Okay.
Let's see. Right now, I mean, just on DraftKings, Wemby's minus 600, Chet's plus 450. There's nobody else in the combo. It's just those two. The other guys are all way up there.
So the odds are on Chet. If you want to, you know, you're not making any money on Wemby. So
yeah. Most improved?
Probably Maxey, I would think.
Yeah. He's minus 195. Kobe White is plus 400. Kaminga's plus 750. Well yeah.
Kobe White's played really well.
Yeah. There's only three guys with odds under 1,000 or four guys. Sorry. Sengin as well, who's good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Maxey's been, especially if he drags that team to like a 4 or 5 seed and wins them a series. Over.
It's so weird because he was playing at an all-star level, like as you were heading into the playoffs last year. And he was I know Embiid was the best team or best player on the team in the playoffs, but Maxey wasn't that far behind him in a lot of those games. And so it almost feels unfair to call him most improved, but I get it. It's a regular season award and the improvement he's made from last regular season. But
sixth man looks like a 2-horse race as well. Who do you got there, coach?
There's someone.
There's little quizzes.
There's an obvious one that I can't think of.
Lou Williams.
First initial of his first name and last name, same initial. Shared by a couple guys on the pod right now. Monk.
Oh, Malik Monk.
Oh. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And then Hardaway Jr. is right behind him, but that's it. Nobody else is really.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are. That's not a good race.
No.
No.
Defensive player of the year is already a wrap, too, apparently. They're saying. I mean, there's still plenty of time to go, but your guy Gobert is at minus 650. Yeah. Did he just win it because he's a regular season blocks and rebounds machine?
Well, yeah. I mean, the numbers when he's on the floor is off the charts, but
yeah,
then he'll get in the playoffs and he has to guard a guard and can't do it. You know, yeah. You can roll switch.
Why is that so different? Like, it's just because the switching, you get more accurate. You get switched onto by a team that has other guys that can actually hurt you, right? Is that the difference in the playoffs?
Yeah, and they're just so used to like, okay, we're gonna get him in coverage one way or the other, and so yeah. Like they, you know, the guys are they know how Gobert is gonna react. They know where the rotations are gonna be coming from, so they just move guys into spacing areas. And then just isolate him, you know. And then once he's isolated, like you can't do anything.
He's done.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he's going to win just because he complained for like 2 years for not winning. When Smart and Jaren Jackson won, he was whining like there's no tomorrow.
That's the worst offensive team in the league this year. Is the Grizzlies? They're not even close. They're bottom.
We're not going to blame Marcus on anything anymore.
He's not
their
playing.
Injuries. Their injuries might be the storyline of the year because, like, they were like a Western Conference favorite, and now they're the worst team ever because it's a G League team.
They have, like, 12 I mean, that might be a good thing for them, though, right? Like, they're going to pick up. Maybe they win the lottery. It doesn't seem, and that's actually my last question. I'm not getting excited about these guys in the draft this year. Are we just waiting on our main guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We're waiting on Superfly.
It's just some French guy going right now and first mocked first. That's no good. We can't have some center from France.
Isn't he playing in the G League too?
He is. Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
Those guys never work out well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we need to wait on Cooper Flagg. But isn't this also like Carlos Boozer's kid is going to be in the next draft? And like a couple of that's the year after.
So Flagg actually reclassified to be in the next year's class. And I don't know if it was to get away from the Boozers, but it moved him in the class ahead of the Boozers. They're the year behind.
Okay, that's right. So we're going to have a couple fun years at the draft.
Yeah, yeah. Next year is going to be a blast with Cooper at Duke. I mean, that's just awesome. Yeah. You know, like
– This is a bad year to have a high pick. This is not going to be a good year to have that pick.
No.
I'm talking
next year's
to
gonna be a bad year to be a Carolina fan. I have to watch Duke.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We've got two UNC fans on the pod right now.
And
they're going to have to deal with Duke.
Yeah.
Picks for the Final Four. I know we're going to do this later on, Maddie, but what do you think, Coach? Who takes it home this year in the Final Four bracket?
In college?
In college, yeah. Yeah, we'll switch gears over to college really quick.
I have no idea. I have barely watched any college basketball. I can't get into college basketball until my basketball season's done because there's just too much basketball. Like I only have time for really the Celtics, and then I just pay attention to the NBA stuff. But college is just you have to watch like 30 teams, and I just I watch so much film and stuff that I don't have time for it.
Let it get to the conference championship so you have an idea too. Like, nobody, you can't pick a Cinderella, right? I mean, there are some teams that profile well as Cinderellas now, like Morehead State, for instance, is a team that's in the middle of America, like nobody knows about that could, it's all matchups when they get there. But of the Blue Bloods, Gibby, Arizona, UConn.
Yeah, I mean, North it seems Carolina, like it's a UConn year again.
Yeah, there's not like a dominant team up top. It's Houston. Purdue has one guy, and teams like that that have a tall center and no other playmakers don't. He's like the Gobert of college. Like, I wouldn't pick Purdue to win anything, but Arizona's loaded. UConn's loaded and getting healthy. Kentucky's getting healthy late here, and they always have guys, and they're creeping around. Like, they lost a bad one last night to LSU, which they shouldn't have lost. Yeah, they're going to be a six seed that nobody really wants anything to do with. So we'll see. Once we get a little closer, we'll know. But I'll have I have eyes on some teams that could spoil some stuff. The Mormons have a good team this year.
Creighton looks like they might cause some feathers to be ruffled too.
Yeah,
and same with Dayton. I like what they're up to.
A-10.
So I'm the same way. I don't really start watching anything until we get into
Indiana State. Squad too, so we might get a little bit of Larry Bird crossover parallel.
That's what America needs. Coach, congratulations on a great season. Thank you for getting us focused on the sort of grind of the NBA season before we get to the playoffs, and hopefully we're talking about the Celtics moving forward.
We'll see you in April for a playoff preview.
I'm not going to make us pick who we think is going to win, because I did that last year and it jinxed us. So
I think we'll put some brackets. I think the three of us could put some brackets in here. Why not? For fun.
Okay. Well,
we can already have, I got my path already filled out to the finals.
when do you make the underclassmen, the juniors, sophomores and freshmen hit the gym?
Right away.
I can't coach them in the off season or anything, but I did tell him, I said, take a couple weeks off to rest up and then get back to it. You know, like, we want to be back there next year. So,
Well, congratulations. I know it didn't end the way you wanted, but we got Falmouth. We took care of Falmouth.
It did.
That's not AB's zone, right? Is that his zone?
No, it's Handsome Joe's.
But... Gotcha. Okay. Well, bounced him. I love it.
Well done.
Joe's Cumberland, isn't he?
They're all the same.
Main slander, Mander.
The Gold Coast.
Thanks, guys.